is Rusty Gaffney, the Prince of Pinot, and welcome to Pinophile Live. Today, I'm featuring issue 54, volume 6, February 26th, 2008. This issue of the Pinophile was about the Santa Maria Valley. My Pinot lust had carried me north from my home in Southern California to Central California. If you look at the map of California, the major wine-growing regions in Santa Barbara County begin just north of the city of Santa Barbara and would include Santa Rita Hills and Santa Ynez Valley. Santa Rita Hills being the cooler western growing region, ideal for Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and the warmer Santa Ynez Valley being more appropriate for warmer Rhone type of varietals and Sauvignon Blanc. And then about 30 to 40 minutes north of the Santa Ynez region lies the Santa Maria Valley. Now, the Santa Maria Valley is the most northerly portion of Santa Barbara County and probably is one of the least well-known wine regions of California. Of course, the Santa Rita Hills, Santa Ynez Valley region was made famous by the movie Sideways. And Santa Maria Valley actually contains a few of the wineries that were in the movie, such as Foxen. But yet somehow the Santa Maria Valley has never obtained the notoriety that came to the Santa Rita Hills, Santa Ynez Valley region with that movie. The primary city in Santa Maria Valley is Santa Maria. There are some smaller towns, Guadalupe, Orcutt, and so forth. The thing that makes the Santa Maria Valley unique is that there is a break in the north-south coastal mountain range so that there is a tremendous maritime influence in the Santa Maria Valley. The fog comes in, mediates the morning temperatures. There's plenty of warmth to ripen Pinot Noir. And then the evenings cool down quite markedly again, so that the growing season is quite extended in this region. There's quite a contrast, and I like to kid about this, between the Santa Maria area and Santa Barbara. You know, people in Santa Maria drive pickup trucks. There, everywhere you go, there's pickup trucks. While if you drive around Santa Barbara, you'll see that there's a strong preference for German sports cars. Santa Maria's most famous cuisine is barbecue and Mexican food, while Santa Barbara's is California chic type food. And finally, the residents of Santa Barbara, they probably drink most of the Pinot Noir that's made in the Santa Maria Valley area. So Pinot Noir is made in Santa Maria, it's drunk in Santa Barbara. The Santa Maria Valley really is part of California's agricultural heartland. It's known for strawberry fields, vegetable fields, things like broccoli and cauliflower and celery and lettuce. But what has changed over the last 10 years or so is that there's been a tremendous growth in the local wine industry. Modern viticulture in the Santa Maria Valley actually dates to the 1960s. Probably the most well-known vineyard in the Santa Maria area is the Bien Nacido vineyard. Bob and Steve Miller were fourth-generation members of the Broom family, who had lost a considerable part of their coastal agricultural holdings to military base expansions in the 60s. And they wanted to replace the family's land holdings. So they purchased the 35,000-acre Rancho Tapusquit land holding from the Allen Hancock family in 1968. And they planted initially some row crops, but there were a number of prospering vineyard developments in the area. And so they ended up planting 640 acres of Chardonnay, Merlot, and Pinot Noir in 1972. Their viticulturist was the renowned Dale Hampton. And Hampton pioneered the use of galvanized steel stakes and guide wires for trellising in vineyards. And people began to call the Tapescuit vineyard the Cadillac vineyard. This eventually led the millers to name their vineyard Bien Nacido, Mexican for being born with a silver spoon in your mouth. The Bien Nacido vineyard became a source of premium wine grapes for multiple noted California wineries, and to this day remains the most visible Santa Maria Valley vineyard. There are many wineries that have built their reputation on the wines they produce from Bien Nacido fruit. Wineries like Albon Clement, Hitching Post, Lane Tanner, Coupe, Richard Longoria, Whitcraft, Tantera, and so forth. Actually, Bien Nacido became a brand in itself almost and a seal of quality. In fact, Steve Imhoff, the noted wine writer, remarked in The Wine Enthusiast that Bien Nacido is one of those vineyards that's so famous it's almost a brand in itself. Well, Bien Nacido Vineyard turned out to be an ideal location for cool climate wine grapes. And early owners, Bob and Steve Miller, were very astute businessmen, and they developed a method of custom growing wine grapes for fledgling small winemakers in the area. Now, Bien Nacido sells grapes to 55 wineries, and most of the winemakers lease the same blocks, the same rows from the large vineyard every year. There are 28 blocks of Pinot Noir, roughly 10 acres to the block, and all are planted with varying rootstock clones and planting patterns. Bien Nacido Vineyards has the largest California planting of certified mother vines from the University of California, Davis, and is one of the major viticultural nurseries in the state for certified budwood. There are four wineries which have facilities on the Bien Nacido property: Oblong Clement, Coupe, Tantera, and Ambolnillo. The Bien Nacido Vineyard Management also operates Central Coast Wine Services in Santa Maria, where over 25 boutique wineries, such as Hitching Post, Lane Tanner, and Red Car, share equipment, storage, and a laboratory. A similar facility is also open in Paso Robles called the Paso Robles Wine Services. There was a lot happening in Santa Maria, and I spent a couple days there and was really surprised to hear the changes which are in the works. Addamo Estate, that's spelled A-D-D-A-M-O, was established only in 2000 with the planting of 120 acres to six varietals. And right now, Addamo has a tasting room and bistro in nearby Old Town Orcutt, but there are plans afoot for them to build a restaurant and hospitality center on the estate property. And I might add that the Pinot Noirs from here are outstanding. And this is a winery to watch. Cottonwood Canyon, which is nearby, it will also be constructing an ambitious new restaurant and events and hospitality center on the estate property. The Murphy family, Matt Murphy works at Ambolnillo, helping Greg Lynn make his wines. His father and the family have purchased a large property adjacent to Addamo Estate. They have sweeping views of the Santa Maria Valley extending out to the Pacific Ocean. And I toured the land. It was currently being prepped for planting. And they plan to build a tasteful hospitality center, tasting room, and event center on the property. And finally, there is a new player in the valley called Riverbench Vineyard and Winery. Actually, Riverbench Vineyard has been producing wine grapes for over three decades. But new owners acquired the property in 2005. They have begun their own boutique winery. A 1920s ranch house on the property is being renovated and converted to a tasting room, which should be open as you hear this podcast. Chuck Ortman, who is known for his winemaking skills at Meridian and Ortman Family Wines, has joined Riverbench as winemaker in 2006. And this is still another winery in the Santa Maria Valley to look for. Probably the most visible figure in the Santa Maria Valley wine scene is James Ontiveros. He's a ninth-generation California farmer and rancher who is currently the director of sales and marketing for Biennecito Vineyard and Solomon Hills Vineyard in Santa Maria, French Camp Vineyard in Paso Robles, as well as Central Coast Wine Services and Paso Robles Wine Services. He farms his own 8-acre Pinot Noir vineyard called Rancho Ontiveros in the Santa Maria Valley, and he consults on a number of other vineyards in the region. James has lived in the area his whole life, and he really knows the back roads and every nook and cranny in the Santa Maria Valley. And there are many people in the area that look to him for advice. And James says that there are a lot of areas that are still undiscovered, probably a lot of areas that are really good for Pinot Noir. So this area has a tremendous amount of potential. James produces Pinot Noir under his own label called Native Nine, and he is a partner with winemaker Paul Wilkins and Seo Anish in the Alta Maria Vineyards label. Now, one of the wineries I visited when I was in the Santa Maria Valley was Ambolnio Vineyards. Ambolnio has this very charming winery along the road that enters the Biennecito Vineyard. Greg Lynn is the owner and winemaker of Ambolnio Vineyards. Greg's one of the most passionate guys I've ever met when it comes to Pinot Noir. Actually, it's Burgundy that really sent Greg on his way. His epiphany was a 1985 Domaine Romane Conte Romane Saint Vivant. And he has an incredible personal cellar, which houses many, many bottles of white and red Burgundy and many, many large format bottles. Those of you that recently attended the World of Pinot Noir and went to the Palais on Saturday night at Aubin Clément, Greg was there in his element, savoring large format bottles of wine. You know, Greg likes to say that if God had to select one wine to make, he would choose Pinot Noir. Greg's also a dog fancier, and the name Ambolnio stands for American Bull Breeds and Neapolitan Mastiff. So if you take the first letters of each of those words, you come up with Ambolnio. And the Ambolnio is a breed of dog that represents a cross between a bulldog and a European Mastiff. Now, Ambolnio itself is a partnership between Greg and several investors, but really Greg is the man, and he makes all the calls. He's the head winemaker, and he is fanatical about quality. He likes to say that there is more bad than good Pinot Noir in Burgundy, and he's clearly focused on making the good Pinot Noir. He spares no expense. He's not interested in making a budget wine. He practices merciless crop thinning in the vineyard, dropping fruit often on three separate occasions. His grapes are picked in the early morning hours. He goes through pretty much the standard winemaking procedure that most high-end Pinot Noir producers are performing these days. He uses native yeast, native bacteria for malolactic fermentation. He uses a little bit of whole clusters, depends on the vintage as to what proportion. He uses no press wine in his finished wines. The cooperage is always top rate, tight grain French oak, costing, I don't know if you want to know. Let's say over $1,000 a barrel. He insists on heavy glass bottles, lengthy high-quality corks, wax-dipped tops, In fact, when I was there visiting and I was tasting, his 2006 vintage wines were still in tanks. He hadn't bottled them yet because he was having difficulty tracking down the appropriate glasses that he wanted to use, and he wasn't about to settle for anything other than specifically what he wanted. You just get the feeling when you're there that the winery and the wines exude confidence and class. Greg started out believing in blended wines, blending several vineyards in his wines. And he still makes blends. But now, he's acquired certain vineyard sources with exceptional grape quality, he's begun to do some vineyard designate bottlings as well. His first wines in the early 2000s were, well, we might call them Big Babe Pinots, in that they were big wines, a lot of fruit, exuberant wines, what he used to say, ain't your grandma's Pinot. But really, since 2005, Greg's toned down his act a bit. He's really mellowed and fine-tuned what he really wants to achieve. He tends now to pick his grapes earlier. His alcohols have fallen as a result every year. And actually, in 2006, most of his wines are between 13.3 and 13.7% alcohol. His wines have taken on more elegance and sophistication, and they're more akin to the Burgundies that he holds in such high regard. I tasted through the whole lineup of the 2006 Pinot Noirs, and I must say, I came away very, very impressed. 2006 was a challenging vintage at Amble Neal. The weather wasn't that cooperative. Mildew and botrytis was a threat, and it's to his credit that he was able to produce so many superb wines. I'm not going to go through the tasting notes of each wine. You can read that in the Pinot file. The three blended wines, the Mastiff, the Bulldog, and the Canis Major, are all superb and probably the most drinkable wines at this early stage. The single vineyard wines, in general, need a little more bottle aging. And these would include the Salomon Hills Vineyard, the Bien Nacido Vineyard Block 1, the Rimrock Vineyard Arroyo Grande, and the Rancho Ontiveros Vineyard Santa Maria Valley Pinot Noir. Greg also makes very nice Chardonnays, actually three of them, all a bit different depending on the oak treatment, and they're well recommended. Amble Neal Vineyards does not offer tours or tastings, and the wines are sold primarily through a mailing list at the website, which is ambleneovineyards.com. A second vineyard winery that I visited when I was in the Santa Maria Valleys was Cottonwood Canyon. And this is a very unique winery. The owner and winemaker, Norman Becco, believes in age-worthy Pinot Noir, and he makes his wines to age. And he sells most of his wines directly from his tasting room. He prefers people to actually visit the winery, spend some time, taste his wines with food, and get a feel for older vintages. There, most of us, particularly ones that are new to Pinot Noir, really don't have the opportunity to taste older vintages that often. People often don't know what to think of older vintages because Pinot Noir, as it ages, takes on what is called a secondary flavor and aromatic profile. Some of the fruit moves to the background, and secondary elements become more prominent. Things like tobacco nuances, cigar box, leather, fecundity, animal notes. And the tannins tend to become softer, more mellow. The wines become quite charming and quite interesting. But for some, a little bit of rusticity that creeps in seems to be not as appealing as when the wines are young. When they're young, they have all this bright, fresh fruit. They're like elementary school kids, full of energy and very expressive and not shy at all. And then as they age, as they become more of an adult, they become a little bit more reserved, a little bit more sophisticated, a little bit more interesting and more complex. And that is the way with Pinot Noir. But getting back to Cottonwood Canyon, it's located on the northernmost edge of the Fox and Canyon Wine Trail, about 18 miles inland from the Pacific Ocean. It's an interesting place to visit. There are 6,000 feet of caves here, which have been carved into the wall of a canyon. And these caves are used for barrel storage and special events. The winemaking philosophy of Norman Becko is oriented to the Burgundian paradigm of high acidity and ageability of wine. He's a staunch advocate of the fact that acid in wine is key for refreshment, food, and aging. The outcome of his belief in making age-worthy wines is that he holds back his vintages, and he only releases wines that have significant bottle age on them. This is very highly unusual in today's wine business. Most of us are used to buying wines and consuming wines early. In fact, studies have shown that a surprisingly high number of wines are consumed within 48 hours of purchase. And actually, there's been somewhat of a shrinking market for ageable wines. The drinking public seems to want instant gratification and not particularly interested in holding on to wines for several years. Norman's experience has been that people who do visit his winery become intrigued with older wines, and he feels strongly there is a market out there for aged wines, and that's why he continues to offer wines that have been cellared for a while. Cottonwood Canyon, just as an aside, is interesting history. A couple things. The first winemaker at Cottonwood Canyon was Kenneth Volk of Wild Horse Winery fame. And he continues in an advisory capacity at the winery. And actually, Brian Loring of Loring Wine Company learned how to make wine at Cottonwood Canyon. When I recently visited Cottonwood Canyon, I tasted through a number of Pinot Noirs, starting with the 1991, that's right, you're hearing that correct, 1991 vintage. The current wines being poured in the tasting room are the 2000 Estate Pinot Noir, the 2001 Estate Pinot Noir, 2001 Elizabeth Vista Pinot Noir, as well as several library Pinot Noirs dating back to 1995. There also are a number of older Chardonnays available to taste and a couple of older sparkling wines. I really was quite impressed about the age-worthiness of the Pinot Noirs. They had held on to their fruit and held on to their coloring nicely. They were crafted in a classic style of Pinot Noir with respectable elegance, fine textures, integrated tannins, plenty of lift and lively acidity. It was really a very unique and gratifying experience for me, and I'd highly recommend it sometime. If you're in the area, go by and meet Norm and taste through these older vintages, and I think you'll be quite impressed. The winery website is cottonwoodcanyon.com. There are some interesting information on the website about aging wines and how the wines are made. Check it out. It's pretty cool. The third winery of interest is Bianchi Winery, which actually is not in Santa Maria Valley, but in Paso Robles. But Bianchi sources their grapes from the Santa Maria Valley. The Bianchi family has built a really very impressive winery and hospitality facility in Paso Robles. And they have a very talented winemaker, Tom Lane, who is a California native who has quite a impressive educational background, who ended up finally at University of California, Davis, where he studied enology and did research on the aromatic compounds among many clones of Pinot Noir. And his winemaking career began at Navarro Vineyards and progressed to Concannon. And really, at Concannon is where he made a name for himself and really brought Concannon into the modern winemaking era. He's won many Winemaker of the Year awards. His Pinot Noir from the Gary Vineyard in Santa Maria Valley is really an impressive wine. The 2005 Bianchi, what they call Signature Selection, Gary Vineyard Santa Maria Valley Pinot Noir, is inexpensive. It's $25. But I tell you, when I opened this wine, it was one of those that wowed me from start to finish. It wasn't a wine that I had to air or decant. It was one that I opened and wow, there was this great scent of fresh ripe strawberries, raspberries, brown spice. This was followed by lovely deep flavors of strawberry jam, damsel plums, vanilla, root beer, toast, spice, you name it. All the good things in Pinot. Nice full mouthfeel, and the balance was spot on. This is an extremely approachable, generous, and fruity Pinot Noir that really is perfect for any occasion. I'd highly recommend it. It's interesting that a few weeks after I first sampled this wine, I attended the Pinot Noir Summit in San Francisco. This is an event where about 270 Pinot Noirs, mainly California, are entered for judging. I was one of the judges, but I went to the event where they showed the 39 finalists, the top 39 wines. And I tasted all 39 wines blind at the summit. And guess what my favorite wine was? You got it. Bianchi, Gary Vineyard, Santa Maria Valley, Pinot Noir, 2005. So I was really happy because I think it really validated my tasting ability. I was pleased to hear that because I think this is a wine that is easy to recommend. Bianchi Winery and Tasting Room is located on Branch Road in Paso Robles. They make a number of other wines as well. They also make a Encel, E-N-C-E-L-L, Vineyard Pinot Noir from York Mountain. I haven't tasted this, but I did purchase some because I'm excited to sample it. Their tasting rooms open every day. They even have a vineyard house on the property that is for rent for those who want to visit the Paso Robles area. And by the way, Paso Robles is only about a 25-minute drive north of the Santa Maria Valley. So one can stay in either Santa Maria or Paso Robles and actually visit both wine regions on the same trip. There are a number of other wines to recommend in the Santa Maria Valley. I could mention Cambria, Julia's Vineyard. This is a wine that's available in many, many supermarkets, very wide distribution. It's inexpensive, around $20. It's really a perfect Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday dinner Pinot Noir. The Alta Maria Vineyards, Santa Maria Valley Pinot Noir, which I mentioned previously that James Onaveros is involved with, as well as Native 9 Rancho Onaveros Vineyards Pinot Noir. Those are also quite exceptional wines and highly recommended. And of course, you really can't go wrong with any wine produced nowadays from Bien Nacido grapes. There are certain vineyards in California, which pretty much guarantee you quality despite the producer. And certainly, Bien Nacido is one of those. So I would recommend that you check out the Santa Maria Valley. The area is booming. There are a lot of interesting wineries to check out. You can stay in the Santa Maria Valley area. You can stay up in Paso Robles. You can stay in Arroyo Grande, the Shell Beach, Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande area. Or you can stay in Los Olivos, Santa Ynez area. They're all within a 40-minute drive of Santa Maria. You can check out multiple regions on the same trip. So do it. Have fun. Drink some good Pinot.